Hello, welcome to the Twin Perspectives podcast series run by travel bloggers Twins That Travel. That's us,
Claire
and Laura.
Tune in for regular discussions about our latest travels, interviews and life more generally.
Happy listening.
Bye.
Welcome back to episode 2 of our podcast, Twin Perspectives.
Hi.
Hi. And today we are focusing on a recent destination that we went to.
St. Lucia.
St. Lucia in the Caribbean, which we went in August.
August. So actually, it wasn't that recent because it's nearly November.
November. But it feels very recent still.
It does. It doesn't feel too long ago. And the tan lines are still here.
So. The tan line is still there, therefore we can still talk about it. So, Laura, do you want to give an intro about St. Lucia and why we were going?
Let's talk about the Caribbean more generally.
Okay, go for it.
So, well, we spoke about this in our vlog. As little kids, we always went to Spain or Europe.
Or the war fields of
France. Or the war fields of northern France and Normandy. That was our dad's favourite vacation hotspot. And the Caribbean was always a place for us for millionaires. I think Dad used to say, oh, if you win the lottery...
If you win the lottery, we'll go to the Caribbean.
We'll go to the Caribbean. And therefore, I always associated it with mega rich people,
yeah,
and honeymooners as well.
Yeah,
it was a place if you got married, maybe to a rich husband, you might go to the Caribbean. So it was always a place I never really thought about. It was out of my mindset as this kind of dreamy land across the Atlantic somewhere, yeah, that I'd probably never reach unless A, I got married, or B, I won the lottery,
or you went out with a rich boyfriend.
So then I did go to the Caribbean.
So she did actually go to the Caribbean.
Ex-boyfriend. I then did go to the Caribbean. I went to Jamaica. I stayed at a Sandals resort.
When was that
in
again?
Montego Bay. It was in 2014.
Okay, so a while ago.
I finally did actually make it to the Caribbean.
I went
to Jamaica, stayed at a Sandals resort. And as an introduction to the Caribbean, I think Jamaica is a fantastic one. It's kind of that stereotypical Caribbean feel with jerk chicken, a really laid-back vibe. Sun-kissed, beautiful beaches, and I absolutely love Jamaica. There was a hint of kind of mountainous regions in Jamaica, of course, but largely it was what I expected. Beaches, quite flat.
I didn't get to go.
No, but
so, this was my first trip to the Caribbean, your second trip to the Caribbean.
Yes.
Yeah. And I've always been desperate to go to the Caribbean, and Laura had a taste of the Caribbean and loved it. So we got invited a good like half a year ago now by St. James's Club Morgan Bay, which is a all-inclusive resort located in the northwest of the island, so just above the capital of Castries. So we were very kindly invited to St. James's Club. And of course, it took all of 3 minutes to decide that we wanted to go.
Yeah.
So we booked it, and we knew we were booking actually in the off-peak season. So the peak season to visit St. Lucia is actually November to May, and that's the dry season. And I think it's not as humid or hot. We went in the off-peak season, which meant it was meant to be a rainy season, and it was very humid.
Incredibly humid,
and very hot. Yeah. But I think it was fine. I would go there again in August.
I did. I mean, the humidity took a little bit of getting used to, but maybe that's because my hair reacts so badly.
Yeah.
Once I did get used to it, it was absolutely fine. And you also benefit from the fact the resorts are half full, tourist destinations or kind of hot spots.
It's quieter.
Very quiet. And there's more of a laid back feel. I think everyone's moving a bit slower because it's hotter.
Boiling hot.
Yeah, and it's downtime. So yes, it was off peak season, but I think I would definitely go again.
Yeah, and I think there were a few thunderstorms, I think, overnight.
Yeah.
Oh, no, it did cloud over a few times in the afternoon, but it was just so warm still.
It didn't matter.
We went in the sea when it was raining, didn't we?
Yeah, which is nice.
And that's just lovely. So we would definitely recommend still going to St. Lucia or the Caribbean in off-peak season. It was absolutely fine. If you can handle the heat. If you're not a fan of humidity and heat, obviously don't go. But it was fine for us.
Blinking made me sweat.
So we set off in August and we flew with Virgin Atlantic, who very, very kindly put us in
business
class, which was unreal. Like I was like a kid in a toy shop. Laura actually fell asleep. There was not a moment when I closed my eyes
because because I had such an adrenaline rush at the start when I realised we were going in business.
You're on a downer.
I hit sort of like an incredible high and then
downer.
I had a downer and fell asleep straight away.
Oh my god, it was amazing, and it was the perfect way to arrive, still feeling quite refreshed because we
watched Moana,
had little burgers in the bar.
Yeah.
It was just so good, and the staff are so friendly that I would definitely recommend Virgin Atlantic.
Well, I mean, I've flown with Virgin Atlantic in economy and I still think they're brilliant.
Yeah, well, we flew back in economy.
Yeah.
It was still fine, but that was very exciting, wasn't it?
It was beautiful. You even get your cup of tea in a bone china cup. And there's something about that that makes you feel like you're at home. And for someone who's
For
someone who's a nervous flyer, I think those home comforts really help on a flight.
That's
so
true.
I was very happy.
They distract you. And the best thing, or the worst thing,
I think it's the worst thing.
I haven't decided which way around I feel about it, but there was Wi-Fi on the plane, so you could be on your phone the whole time if you wanted to, which in a way is kind of sad because the best thing about flying sometimes is that you can just get to watch films and log off from the world for however many hours. But it was also quite cool to be able to text someone and say, where are you? And you'd just say,
So mum could have hourly updates on our progress across
somewhere
the Atlantic.
Over the Atlantic Ocean, mum. So yeah, we flew with Virgin from the UK. It was, I think, a 9-hour flight, so not too bad.
Not too bad.
I think it was a bit shorter on the way home because they always are. And yeah, that's how we got to St. Lucia at the end of August this
by
year.
Via plane. Obviously.
So we thought before we go into the highlights of what we did when we were there, we'd incorporate this into all of our destination podcasts. We'd start with some statistics that Laura loves and some historical facts.
I don't know why you're putting this on me, because actually you said you wanted to do statistics.
I did history.
Whenever anything nerdy comes up, you always quickly place it on me.
You'll enjoy it. Yeah. So go forth, Laura, and give some stats and history about the island of St. Lucia.
St. Lucia is shaped like an avocado, which I hadn't realised. And then when I read this fact, I looked on Google Maps, and in fact it is. It really is avocado shaped, which is quite fitting for such a green and lush land. It's little. It's only 27 miles long by 14 miles wide, therefore totalling a whole 617 kilometres squared. So it really is very small. But because it is so mountainous, and in fact, the centre of the island is entirely filled with these kind of winding mountain roads and very thick rainforest, to get around it takes much longer than you'd think because it is tiny.
Yeah.
So the main roads actually go around the peripheral of the island, so you can drive around the beaches. But of course, to go kind of across the island takes a lot longer. But that said, it's a little island. It looks out of place as a Caribbean island. It's incredibly mountainous, incredibly green, full of rainforest, wild ferns and orchids. When we were there, a lot of people compared it to a Hawaiian island or a Polynesian island.
Yeah, it felt like Jurassic Park.
Yeah, it does seem a strange place, especially because next to places like Antigua in the Caribbean, who are quite...
Martinique
and St. Vincent, which can be a little flatter, it really does stand out. So historically, it is known as the Helen of the West Indies and we'd had to look this up, Helen of Troy, who was the world's most beautiful woman in Greek mythology.
Yeah.
So she was fought over constantly by the Europeans. In fact, she changed her flag 14 times between... some dates I didn't write down.
So St. Lucia was owned 7 times by the French and 7 times by the English.
Yes, so she had a bit of identity crisis for a while, mainly due to the fact that because it's so rich, it's full of banana groves, coconut groves, papaya,
mango,
cocoa groves, coconut beans. It's great for farming because it's also volcanic, although the volcano Soufrière is now dormant.
Yeah.
So due to that, all its soil is lovely and mineral-rich, fertile. And the French, when they came across, spied that pretty early on and set up planting these big forests of bananas. Other facts. I think I'm coming to it.
Coming to an end.
Its first capital was Soufrière, which is the volcanic...
I just love saying that. Soufrière.
Which actually means sulphur in the air, which comes from its volcanic roots.
Which is why it smells quite eggy.
It's quite pungent, actually. Yeah. It's beautiful, but you can't sort of mistake that scent
eggy
of...
eggy smell. Sewage. It reminds me of that time we went to Sicily and we went to those thermal baths. Do you remember? They were sulphur and it was so hot there. And we jumped into the bath, into the pool, thinking it was going to be really cold. And it was like... 37 degrees.
Oh yeah, that's right.
And I thought, I'm dying.
So bad. And then the scent was on my skin for the flight home.
It was like
a
Anyway, but Soufrière is very, very pretty, very colourful, and we'll get on to it.
It's beautiful. And now, actually, its main capital is Castries, which is, again, up in the northwest, and is where 32% of the population live, yeah. A population of 178,000.
Yeah. I'd say Castries isn't as pretty as Soufrière. It's much more practical, isn't it?
It's for shipping, yeah. The port, also the...
Big oil tanks, isn't there?
The cruise ships come in as well.
But I prefer that's Soufrière. For sure.
Yeah, Soufrière is beautiful. So... There ends my quick fact. I think well, not
the only
so
thing
quick,
you didn't
actually.
Add in, which I found mind-boggling, is that the closest mainland was Venezuela.
Oh yeah, that's weird.
I didn't realise we were so close to Venezuela.
Yeah, you think Caribbean, I always think, Florida, for some reason.
No, I don't think that, but there are some stats about St. Lucia, which hopefully you found interesting.
We can put a jingle in around that
Yeah,
bit.
We could put a jingle in there. Yes. So we thought now we would move on to kind of the highlights for us overall. We were there for a week, we didn't say that, we were there for a week.
Yes.
Whether that was long enough, I would think we both agree it wasn't long enough.
No, absolutely.
However, it didn't feel rushed.
No,
we did... Like, if you were just going to relax and do a few activities, actually a week is fine.
I think so, yeah.
I probably would have preferred 10 days to 2 weeks to really see the island.
Yeah, I think 2 weeks always feels a really long time sometimes, doesn't it? 10 days probably, I think you could fit a nice amount in.
Yeah, I think 10 days would have been perfect. So, we thought we would move on to our highlights. The first one we've put down is, well, you've put Pink Plantation House, but I think the whole day was a highlight because we rented the car.
Yeah. As a bit of context, when you're thinking of St. Lucia, I always thought of honeymooners, and that meant people laying on beaches and just drinking cocktails. And there's definitely that side to St. Lucia, which is incredible.
Oh, yeah.
Who doesn't like a daiquiri in the afternoon? Mm-hmm. And there's plenty of beautiful resorts and quite new tourist resorts, like resorts, Sugar Beach.
And what's the other one? The one, the really, really expensive hotel? Damn it. I would have to link to it below.
But Angie Silverspoon has stayed there, so I will rack her brains. So there are obviously plenty of resorts that cater to that side of mountain life, island life.
Yeah, and there's a few Sandals resorts as well.
However, on our drive in with our taxi driver, Philip, a lovely man.
No, that wasn't Philip, that was Hillary.
Oh, gosh. Hillary, he's talking about how the island actually is perfect for adventure and soft adventure. So
soft
adventure is for people like Claire and I who aren't that adventurous, a bit scaredy cat, but also don't like just sitting down all day. So he was actually saying the island is the perfect place to come if you kind of like these hiking, snorkeling, ziplining,
that type of thing, really, like
gentle exploration. Sounds like we're OAPs. So island life actually is great for that type of thing on St. Lucia as well. So if you are someone who gets easily bored laying on a beach, then all's not lost if you
visit the island.
The day that Claire's about to talk about, we decided to, in the spirit of Hillary, we hired a car and we decided to let loose on the island and go a bit maverick.
I think the first reason we hired the car is we realised we were driving on the same side of the road as in England.
Yes.
So straight away we felt comforted by the fact that we could definitely do this. And we decided if we only went at 15 to 20 miles an hour,
it would be safe.
Then we would be safe.
The roads are incredibly windy.
And up and down. And if you get motion sickness, if you're in the back of one of those cars, you would feel quite sick.
I had to focus on a point in the horizon.
Yeah, but luckily we were driving so slowly, we didn't notice any of that.
Yeah, so actually driving was a breeze.
It was a breeze, and St. James's Club were amazing. They got the car hire sorted. We just rocked up, didn't we?
Yeah, and I think my resorts are pretty happy to get your car.
Got in the car and drove off. We didn't actually go very far, but we went far enough.
Don't stray too far.
Oh, we didn't go too far. The main reason we actually wanted to hire a car is we wanted to visit a place called Pink Plantation House that we had heard of. It's a restaurant where you can go to have your lunch and dinner, and they're also turning it into a hotel at the moment, but it's a French colonial house. It's the most beautiful, isn't it?
It's stunning, yeah. It's just outside Castries.
Yeah, and it's got views out over Castries.
Yeah, and over the bay. You kind of come out of Castries and go up this small... It's actually a Victorian road, so quite an old, bumpy road.
Yeah, it is bumpy.
And you think you have the feeling that you're going out into the middle of the island and you're maybe going the wrong way, and then all of a sudden you'll see this tiny, tiny sign with a tiny pink house on it. And then as you drive in, you don't notice it immediately because it is so...
It's covered.
This island is covered in rainforest. And I think all we saw were these kind of big green palm trees.
Yeah.
And then a tiny hint of pink behind one. So like, yay,
and
we've arrived.
And there it was, a 150-year-old home that's slowly being done up into a hotel.
And it is beautiful. It's
I wish we had gone there for lunch, actually. We just went there for like a morning. We had a drink, didn't we?
Yeah, we had a drink.
We were there for an hour and a half.
Yeah, you walk in and they've got a kitchen outside where the chefs are. So already they were starting to cook and it smelled like sweet onions and frying onions. Yeah. And then you walk in and the floorboards are so creaky because this house is so old.
Yeah. And they've tried to. It feels like you've walked into a 150-year-old time, like back in time.
It does.
It?
They've tried to restore it, so it's a bit of a time capsule. Yeah. And we walked in and there was these sepia photographs of the old owners hanging on the walls and this old piano in the corner.
Creaky stairs going up.
And all you could hear was sort of birds around the whole place. It was so
nice. But there's just
nice.
Like a gentle wind blowing through as well. Because if you go out onto the veranda where you eat your lunch or your dinner, you have views straight down into the Bay of Castries.
Yeah.
And it was just beautiful.
And also the owner,
Michelle Elliott.
Michelle Elliott, she's also a ceramics artist. So she has her studio there. And if you go into one of the rooms, it's just full of her vases, her plates, her paintings, and they're so colourful. There's quite a few of Pink Plantation House itself, and it's just this bright pink and green image.
We really wanted to buy some stuff, but obviously suitcase-wise, it just wasn't an option.
She's doing it up now as a hotel, so you can stay there, and I would stay there a million times
I think
over.
There's only going to be five to six rooms.
It's quite exclusive.
It's a very exclusive place, I think, that you will
but
be staying.
Really with colonial style shutters in your bedroom and these big fans above your bed. So if you are going and you do want a treat, I would definitely look it up.
I want to get away from everything really and just be in a little nugget of happiness.
So and also if you do like Instagram, the photographs there are beautiful.
It's the most Instagrammable place on earth.
It's lovely.
It's not the main reason we went
there. It's actually, if you look at our Instagram, it's where we took the incredibly awkward photos of
us together.
Of us together, me in my yellow dress.
Yeah, that was the main reason we hired the car, and we spent the morning at Pink Plantation House, and I loved it. And then in the afternoon, we decided, Kai, who is works the tourist board out there, recommended. We were looking for somewhere which had the really clear waters where we could do a bit of snorkeling.
We'd also bought the GoPro Dome.
We wanted to use the GoPro Dome so we could get this half underwater, half above kind
which
of
shot.
Which we didn't manage to do.
It just looks like I'm drowning in every photo.
It does. But we decided to set off to a place called TK Resort. And this is on the same Naughty Elephant Square, on the west coast of the island still. And it's the bit that begins, it's called the Queen's Chain, which means all the beaches that run down there, they run into Sugar Beach, which is a very, very exclusive resort. All the beaches are actually public, so although there's resorts on that beach...
Yeah, you can pay a small amount of money, $4.
Yeah, how much did we pay?
It was about $4.
$4 each, I think, to stay for half a day. And also, if you then use the $4 at the restaurant, you got $4 off your meal, didn't
you?
Yes, So we went to TK...
Village and resort.
And resort for the afternoon. Well, supposedly go and get some nice GoPro shots. And it was a bit stressful because the road down felt like it went on for an eternity. And it felt like it hadn't been touched up for 700 years.
It felt
years.
Like maybe there'd been an earthquake and nobody had gone back to check
no
on that road.
No one had noticed. And there was a few arguments as we made our way down. I was obsessed with the idea the tyres were about to explode and we'd be stranded there forever. But we did make our way all the way down very, very, very slowly.
We did get down there and it's worth it. The water on the west side of the island is the Caribbean Sea, so it's super gentle, it's warm, it's calm. On the east side of the island is actually the Atlantic. So that side of the coast is entirely different. It's quite rough and wild. The water's obviously a bit colder. But on the west side, at TK Village, it's where the water suddenly...
turns clear.
Crystal clear.
Yeah.
So it's perfect for snorkelling. And you can, as Claire said, follow the whole island down that part and enjoy all those beaches.
Yeah, so if you do go and you see all these fancy resorts and you think, oh, I can't use that beach.
Yeah, don't be put
off. You can, because it's part of the Queen's Chain. So that's where we went for the afternoon.
And there are some beautiful coral around there. Yeah. And we saw some fantastic fishes.
And
plural for fish?
Fishes is plural for fish that aren't all the same. If there was all there was is goldfish, it would still be fish. But if there's lots of different mixes, it's fishes.
So there was lovely coral and beautiful fishes.
Yeah, and
here.
We had a lovely lunch, didn't we?
Well worth, if you do enjoy snorkeling, then try and explore those beaches, regardless of if you're staying at the fancy resorts.
Yes.
It doesn't matter.
And we did that. And then we explored Castries.
We wanted to have a quick look, so we parked... in the main square.
By the cathedral.
By the cathedral.
Church.
Yeah, so the cathedral has some fantastic Muriel. I kept saying this wrong.
Muriel. Muriel is a person. Murals.
Murals.
She kept saying, let's go see some murals.
Inside, it has beautiful murals. I can't say it.
Murals.
And it's an amazing cathedral, actually, to have a little... I keep calling it a cathedral. Is it a church?
I think it was just a church. I think it, I don't think it was a cathedral.
I don't sound very knowledgeable.
But even the drive kind of up to Castries through all those little villages, do you remember how cute they were?
Yeah.
Just so colourful.
There was one we kept driving through called Anslerey.
On the sea.
On the sea. And what I loved about it is every time we drove through, there was always a chicken crossing the road, which I couldn't stop saying the joke. And then behind it, this little gaggle of chicks.
Oh, it was just so cute. We really wanted to stop, but we were too embarrassed to just sort of stop.
Well, when there's lovely scenes, so there was sort of like women selling...
Braiding
each other's hair and selling bananas by the side of the road. And more than anything, I wanted to take a photo, but I didn't want to look like that person.
Yeah, you made me round to go back again, and then you still didn't get out.
We circled it about 10 times, and I think the local people were getting a bit shifty, wondering what we were doing. Accelerated off into the distance.
But anyway, that was a memorable day, wasn't it? Lovely, memorable day.
Yeah, it was a good day, and definitely worth hiring a car.
And if we had more time, we would have used that car to go over to the east side of the island.
Yeah, and just to say, in Castries, there's a great market that's well worth having a look around. Souvenirs, food, everything you can think of, and there's a really fun atmosphere down there, so well worth having a quick stroll around if you've got the time.
Okay, so that was highlight one. Hiring our car and going to Plantation House. Number two.
We are actually looking at little bits of paper.
Do you want to talk about Fondue Plantation? And this is where Philip drove us, by the way, Hillary.
Sorry. The island itself, it's hard to visit the island and not talk about plantations. They were the heartbeat of St. Lucian economy and to a certain extent still are.
And their history.
So there's hundreds of them across the island. Obviously, as a colonised island, it's where the French and the English not only grew their sugar but then exported it. So there are plantations across the island, although not all of them are working. So we went to Fondue Plantation, which is actually a working one, which was really interesting.
And a hotel.
And it's also now a resort.
Yeah.
It's 250 years old and just outside Soufrière again, set back quite on a private road back on the hillside.
Just the most beautiful place.
So calm, so quiet. We drove up, we were the only people there actually. Yeah. Again,
another perk.
A perk of going in off-peak time.
Yeah.
And this area, Soufrière, is sort of a bit like equivalent of Birmingham in the UK. It's where the cocoa is.
I was wondering where you're going with that.
I mean, Birmingham unfortunately lacks much of the tropical paradise.
Any of that,
or St. Lucia. So we rolled up and we were the only people there, which was incredible. And we had two tour guides, Angel and Shine.
Laura thought he was called Shane. I'm pretty sure he was called Shine.
But I think you just heard Angel and then Shine went with it. And
he was called Shine. It was Angel and Shine.
So they were there and they were going to give us this tour. The buildings around this place, they were bright yellow, orange, they were green, all wood panelled, incredibly creaky,
just
like crickets. Pink Plantation House. And you could sense that it was 250 years old.
Oh yeah, definitely.
They also had there, and this is available to guests, an enormous house that stood there on its own that was actually packed up from Castries.
Yeah, the owners bought it up.
And driven down and put on the plantation. And again, you can stay there, you go in, it's got these huge colonial shutters and fans.
Yeah.
Upstairs, this canopied bed with white linen, and it's so quiet. I imagine if you do want to go on a bit of a romantic holiday,
I'd definitely recommend.
It's the perfect place
Fondue
to
Plantation,
stay.
Definitely.
So, as well as having a look around the resort, we also then toured the plantation. So we had this tour, and it was pretty overwhelming. Shine's knowledge of flora and fauna was overwhelming.
Unreal how much he knew.
The resort itself, it's only 135 acres, which actually is quite a lot, but in it is probably every single piece of plant, fruit,
fauna
and
that's
animal
grown on that island.
That's grown on the island. It's like a microcosm of St. Lucia. So we had this walk around. We saw fruits I've never sort of seen before or heard of, actually, I think, before. And every single fruit that we did come across seemed to have some kind of magical property.
Like a medicinal purpose.
Yeah, and he did explain that fruits that are grown in places like the Caribbean, because it's so sunny, have this really high levels of antioxidants.
Yeah.
They can seem to cure anything,
literally
anything. And I kind of realised why in the UK, when we just have like an old apple tree...
Yeah, maybe we're a
maybe
bit
I'm
lacking.
So nutrient deficient.
Yeah, yeah.
Because everything here seemed to have a cure for something. Yeah. So he showed us around. There were hummingbirds as well, which were, yeah, they were everywhere. They're so
tiny.
Tiny.
Just
they're
the
about
tiniest things.
The size of my fist, I think.
And look, we've got small hands, so.
Yeah, they were tiny and they're everywhere. So we had a look around, looked at all those, looked at the little birds. And the sort of highlight was, it's also a cocoa plantation. So we sort of followed the journey of the bean.
Yeah, from the very beginning. So we had no idea. Well, maybe I did have an idea and I'd forgotten, which is probably more than likely, that obviously the cocoa bean doesn't pop out into the world like a brown cocoa bean. At the beginning, they're called the M&Ms of the rainforest, and they're inside this, like a
well,
really hard
shell.
I think
I described it as the love child of a banana and a corn on the cob. Back
yeah,
to
yeah,
reveal.
It was like a giant corn on the cob. Yeah, or a maggot, like a fat maggot.
Yeah, so we're making it sound so lovely.
Well, it did look horrendous.
He peeled it back, and inside this giant banana corn on the cob was these slimy little white bean
that looked
maggots.
That makes me feel funny.
And they had
sort
of like a cytoplasm covering them, didn't
yeah,
they?
Yeah, like and then he was like, just put them in your mouth and suck them. You don't eat them, you just suck them.
You suck them.
And we sucked them, and they were...
My gag reflex was like...
I was trying not to gag. But as soon as it was in my mouth, it was delicious. It was like a fruity... slimy.
Well, we said it tasted like lychee fruit, actually.
It does, like lychee.
Yeah, so what they would do is they would pop the bean in their mouth, they'd sack off all the coating, and then they'd leave it out in the sunshine to ferment and to dry.
Yeah, that was stage two, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Well, they don't suck them all now.
No, that would be painstaking. You know what? You'd admire your cocoa, your chocolate bar more if you did know that someone behind that had sucked every bean.
Oh god.
Just edit that bit out.
Oh, I need to stop. Okay.
My scar is going everywhere, Claire, so it's not ideal.
Oh dear. So we then moved on to the second stage of like the cocoa process, which is when they put all the beans out in the sun.
To dry.
Yeah. And then the best part was when they do the cocoa bean dance. When they get inside like a massive wooden bowl.
It's like a pestle and mortar.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They basically use their legs to swivel the cocoa beans around and around
and around.
Polish
them, basically.
They're
polishing the beans. So it's this incredible dance that you're going to have abs of steel to be able to do it.
Yeah, Shine was amazing.
Shine got in this giant bowl, used his arms to kind of take his weight, and then just... how would you describe it?
Sort of swirled his legs in different
swirled
directions.
His legs around and around polishing the beans. Thankfully, they don't have to do that these days. They have machines that do it. But it was actually a credible sight. And if you do visit a plantation, particularly a cocoa plantation, and they are offering a chance to see that, I would definitely have a look. Because it was a sight I'll probably never see again. We didn't have the time, but there's also sugar mills that you can visit on the island. Lesiqui sugar mill, which is Creole. Basically,
Creole.
For sugar mill.
We should probably say what Creole is.
So Creole is the language spoken throughout the Caribbean, yeah. And it's kind of, again, it's a mix of languages. The Lesiqui is a 19th century sugar mill. It's in the centre of the island, and it's open for tours and visitors.
Yeah.
So we didn't have the chance to go, but had I absolutely would have gone.
Yeah.
I love the colonial history of the island.
Yeah, it's fascinating.
Yeah, it's really, really interesting.
This is another highlight, and this is actually something we did almost, I think, on the Sunday. We arrived on the Friday afternoon, and we did this on the Sunday. This was actually arranged through St. James's Club. They owned this catamaran.
Yeah.
And it was called the Calypso Cat, and I think you can do this all over the island.
There'll be variations of it, I'm sure. Yeah.
We were picked up for the day basically on a 42-foot power catamaran, and we spent the day on the boat, and it took us to various spots all over the island.
Yeah, so when we got on, there was a lady, so our host was Miss Lucy.
She was she had the most amazing voice.
Yeah, it was like velvet.
It was velvet, like if I could just get her to talk to me.
Why don't you do an impression?
No, I can't.
In my blog post that when I spoke to her, I felt like Mr. Bean. My voice was
like
so
scratchy
and nasal.
And
she was
horrible.
She was incredible. She was so cool as well. And she gave this running commentary of the island as we sailed down it.
Yeah.
I think taking a catamaran tour is a great way to see the island from the sea. It just looks, you can understand why people fought over it and why it's considered so beautiful. You can see these sort of mountainous skyline, basically.
Yeah.
And there's one, do you remember the mountain we went past? It looks like a man's face looking up
like
to the sky.
The profile of a face looking up into the sky.
And it's uncanny, actually.
Yeah,
isn't
it was amazing. And she was also really good. I love this type of stuff of pointing out all the celebrities' houses along the east, along the west coast.
Mick Jagger.
Mick Jagger was there. Oh, there were so many of them. It was a bit like when I went to Lake Como. I did something similar when I was looking for George Clooney's
house. Did you stalk them?
Yeah. So it was fascinating, but we weren't on the boat the whole time. We actually went down the west coast, back to Soufrière, and we went to the Sulphur
Springs, where Richard Branson and Oprah Winfrey have taken a dip.
Oh. Mm. So the Sulphur Springs were really, really fun. It was a very touristy hotspot. Like it's
you
not
failed
like
to mention how insanely hot they were.
Yeah, I'm going to get onto that bit. But first of all, like it is a tourist hotspot. However, it was very good. And so basically, you arrive and
strip off,
and the first thing you do is plunge yourself into 38, 39 degree
molten
clay. No, it was just water at first. And so we plunged into that, and it took your breath away, and the heat was
I think it
incredible.
Took my skin away.
It was so hot that no one could stay in there for very long.
So there was grown men sort of screaming as they lowered themselves
and, like,
in.
Grabbing me to try and get out.
But actually, you did acclimatise once you were in it for a little bit.
Yeah, you did get used to it.
It was just because I had sunburn on my legs.
Yeah.
So it was torture.
You popped yourself in there, you got out, and then that's when you literally like slathered yourself in
clay,
like grey clay. Well, there's two different colours. There's a light grey and a dark grey. So you could make yourself look all tribal. So our guide was really set on making me and Laura into sort of tribal women. So we covered ourselves in a light grey, and then we used the dark grey to sort of create little patterns across our faces. And then, like little reptilian people, you scurry along onto a rock in the sun, and you just sit there and you bake. So you let the clay
dry,
basically, until you feel like you're in a cast, I guess.
Yeah, it sort of cracks.
And then you wash it off.
Yeah.
Back into that plunge pool.
But my skin was so soft.
I can't tell you how soft our skin was. It was amazing.
It was incredible, isn't it? If you have mosquito bites, it's a fantastic remedy.
Yeah, it is.
It seemed to sort of soothe them, and they were less intense, actually.
Reduced the swelling, didn't it?
They were less red, I think, after.
Yeah. So we did that on the catamaran day, which was really, really fun and hot. Fun and hot, but the results I was very pleased with. I had the skin of a baby.
I'd gone back in time.
We had,
and then we went on to the diamond
waterfalls.
It's a diamond botanical park. So it's an entire botanical park full of, again, beautiful, lush flowers and plants to look at. But also there's a waterfall there, diamond waterfalls, which after you've been in 38 degrees, getting into that cold.
Oh, it was so nice.
Yeah, it was so refreshing.
It was beautiful as well.
Yeah,
in the water.
It's very impressive, very beautiful. And actually, there weren't too many people there.
No.
And then you can have a bit of a swim. There's a wider pool that you can have a bit of a swim around. And,
yeah, it's just a good way to follow on after the springs.
And it's about a 5-10 minute drive from there.
It's
very close. So I think if you were doing this Sulphur Springs, you might as well do that.
Yeah, do the diamond waterfalls at the same time.
And whilst you're there in the same region, you can also organise your hike up the pitons. I think the petit piton rather than the gross piton.
Yeah.
We didn't do that. We chose to go with the springs.
I really would like to do it though.
It's not too taxing, apparently.
No.
And then you get to the top, and I have seen photographs. The views up there are incredible, back over the island. So I think if you do want a bit of cardio, then it's definitely worth doing. I think it was just so hot as well.
Oh, yeah, especially after doing the Sulphur.
Yeah, and I think one thing that intrigued me, though, is if you do it, you get to walk through some of the rainforest there.
Yeah.
And apparently around there, there's lots of iguanas, so that would have been great
iguana
to do.
Iguana is the protected animal on the island.
We actually learnt a few things about, obviously, because being a colonial part of England and France at some point, there was obviously slavery on the island. They brought snakes over to kind of keep slaves.
Oh, really?
Yeah. They also brought over this plant that we didn't mention that we saw at
Fondue. Name?
I wish I could remember its name. But when you tread on it?
When you tread on it or even touch this plant, it's a plant that grows over the floor. But
yeah,
it goes on the ground.
It's like a carpet, isn't it?
Yeah. But when you touch it, it crinkles up on itself. Slave owners, or in colonial times, would plant this around the perimeters of their land. And so they would know if people were trying to get away, basically.
Trying to trespass.
Because the the plant would screw up into these little balls. So that was quite fascinating.
So it's interesting how some of the flora and fauna there is actually brought in.
So the last thing we have as one of our highlights is the cooking class that we took.
Yeah. Oh, I loved this.
Yeah, we both loved this so much. So where was this? This was just north of where we were staying.
This is north in Gros Islet. I have to excuse my pronunciation.
I think it was Gros Islet. And there was a cooking class. It was called Cook Like a Lucian.
Yeah.
And it was run by...
Tony.
Tony and his mum.
Tonic. Yes, I actually looked it up on the internet. T-O-N-I-C-K.
I'm so sorry if you're listening to this. Are you sure?
Yes, I Googled it.
Okay. It was run by mainly Tony, who was the nicest guy you have ever met.
Like, had the world's biggest smile.
Maybe he's listening to this.
He was a very good looking man.
Very attractive man. And he knew how to cook. So what more could you want?
Yeah, it was fantastic. And his mum there, she had kind of grown up cooking, but also mainly taught herself the skills and shared them with Tony. So she was in the background doing a lot of the preparation.
Yeah, she was.
That we weren't able to do.
And we basically made...
We made a lot.
It
was a 9-course meal.
This is making my tummy rumble.
It included curry chicken, green fig salad, which isn't actually fig, it's kind of a green banana.
Yeah, sort of a banana of types, of sorts.
It was all very confusing with this banana situation. a macaroni pie, which was so good.
Yeah.
Fried ripe plantain roast bakes, chocolate tea, which is basically their cocoa on a stick that they then melt into hot water, and it creates... It's not hot chocolate, it's more spicy.
We had that with dumplings.
And dumplings, which is...
Dumplings went into the chocolate.
Yeah, and the dumplings, we had them both savoury and sweet.
Yeah.
So we had them savoury with the macaroni pie, and then you can also just plonk them in this chocolate tea.
Spicy fish cakes.
God, that was good. And then they have salted fish as kind of one of the main dishes there.
Salted cod. Which has actually been brought over by the English.
Yeah, because obviously to preserve the fish whilst you're sailing across the Atlantic, you salt it.
And cod isn't actually a native fish in that area.
No, which was beautiful. They have it almost in, like a scone. I mean, almost like a biscuit scone.
Oh, I'm so hungry.
And it was beautiful. It was so nice.
But the whole afternoon, we danced, we had music playing.
I learnt what was the dance called?
Was it called Million?
$10
dance or something. So Tony taught us a little dance routine anyway. And it was just so nice. And then once he cooked everything, we sat down and we ate it all.
Naturally.
And there was so much.
And also we've got the recipes back here. I think the only problem we'll have is sourcing some of the
ingredients. No, there's some good Caribbean supermarkets in Milton Keynes.
Oh, are there?
Yeah. So we should hold a Caribbean night.
Because actually the food was not only tasty, but it was really easy to make.
It was really
incredibly easy to make. A lot of the things they used for one recipe was then used again in another recipe in a different shape, either mashed or baked.
Yeah.
I mentioned this in the blog post, we had talked with Kai from the Tourist Board about how cooking is such a good introduction to a culture, and I think this was a fantastic way into St. Lucian culture.
If you're looking for like a foodie experience, you're really into your food, but you want to like try a hands-on
course. But it's quite relaxed as well.
Yeah, it's relaxed. You don't need to be a good cook. I'm awful.
I'm good.
It was really, really good. So Cook Like a Lucian, we're going to link all of these in a blog post below so you can have a look. But Laura's actually already written a blog post, A Guide to St. Lucia.
I have written a rambling 2,500-word guide.
Which has all of these links in as well.
Peruse it.
But that is a highly recommended experience to try when you're on the island.
Yeah, and it just seemed as we drove around the island that food was everywhere. I mean, when you're driving down some of the mountain roads, there was so many stops where there were grills with corn on the cobs just by the roadside.
Just little smells kind of creeping
And you could just smell this roasting corn, which is incredible.
So I'd say that was our final highlight of our week in St. Lucia.
And I think it's hard to capture the whole island, but I think as we drove around, the views are absolutely stunning. It's these rolling mountain hills covered in rainforest and green trees.
And for us, because we were in off-peak season, it was so warm, it was literally steaming.
It was the steam rising, and it was actually on our drive back to the airport. It was golden hour. And the views are just incredible. It's the most beautiful island. I can't sort of describe it very well. And whilst we were there, it always smelled of burning wood, kind of wood
like
smoke,
fire.
Because they make quite a lot of charcoal over there. So it had this mix of like humid steam and then this sort of wood smoke,
and then
thick
like a
wood
salty
smoke.
Sea as well.
And the salty sea. And it was just magical, wasn't it?
It was a really, really good week.
Everyone was incredibly friendly.
Yeah, really looked after
us. That Caribbean spirit, isn't it, I think?
Yeah. And then we popped on a on a plane home again.
The plane ride home wasn't so glamorous.
It wasn't so glamorous. The girl next to us had
air sickness,
and we hate people being sick. We shouldn't be talking about this. So the plane ride home wasn't as glamorous, and we were very sad to leave. So shall we round up with what your highlight was and what my highlight was?
Yeah, I think my highlight, like I was just saying, I don't think it was a particular activity. It's more the whole atmosphere of St. Lucia. It's kind of a really magical place. It does feel more like you're in Polynesia, with these huge mountainous and cliffs.
Like chunky flowers, like loads of different coloured flowers and orchids.
And just the smells, it was incredibly relaxing. And it was, I can understand why people do go there for their honeymoon.
Yeah.
It was a paradise.
It was a paradise. I'd say mine was probably the fondue plantation.
Yeah.
I just loved learning about all the different things.
All and the different
and
fruits.
And chocolate and the M&Ms of the rainforest.
Yeah, well, that was an experience.
Yeah. So that was it. We went for 7 days.
Hire a car if you can. Don't be scared of driving, actually. I think everyone is going quite slowly anyway because the road's so windy.
Yeah, it's not like you're about to go onto a huge motorway.
It's not like driving in LA or something,
no,
is it?
Nothing like that. So definitely get out and discover the East Coast as well.
So if we were kind of just discussing what we'd do if we went back, I would love to look more at the East Coast, which is this Atlantic wild and rough coast.
Yeah.
We were talking actually to our guide about a bay called $5 Beach. And to get there, you have to get lost and then found again, is how he described it.
Yeah.
It's this, naturally, it's a beach on the Atlantic coast, but it's where the locals also go to swim their horses, which to me just sounds so romantic.
I know. So there's so much we would do, but mainly exploring the East Coast will be top of our agenda.
Yeah, I don't think that there are less resorts on that side.
There are.
But I imagine the resorts that are there are kind of more
rugged,
a bit more isolated.
Yeah.
But
yeah,
definitely worth visiting.
Definitely. Okay, so that is the end of our destination guide to St. Lucia, our first destination guide.
That was long, wasn't it?
I was about to say what's next week, but I don't think we've decided.
It'll be a surprise.
It will be a surprise. It will be another more personal one rather than a destination. So we decided to alternate. So destination, personal.
Come up with something.
Okay, then.
Thank you for listening.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye.